of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Oh, Pentecost is such a great day. I get to run up and down and make noises. I love the drama. I love the wind. I love the fire, tongues or the ears, whatever, of the Spirit. I love that some folks have a birthday cake today to celebrate the birth of the church, you know, and Anne talked about the great celebration. We decorated the table, but I didn't bring a cake today. And we've had our drama. Then I think I'm probably done. Not because I don't believe, I've never had flames actually appear over my head. And I have heard babble. We are in the midst of a provincial election, after all. But I was never able to understand the words in my own language, you know, like truth, reason, and kindness. And the world. Just the world. Gaza, the death of truth, Bill Cosby, can I ever listen to his records and laugh again? Truth and reconciliation beyond a report, can it happen? My privilege, how do I let go and overcome such an incredible addiction? Pipelines, Syria, another school shooting, another argument, another setback. It's all too much. And I don't know how rushing wind can actually make a difference. Perhaps they were feeling a little bit like I feel now, back in Rome 2,000 years ago, when Paul wrote to them and shared the words that we eventually found and Daniel read. In the midst of occupation, a decaying empire, multiple political, religious, and social factions all vying for power, did he need to tell them to imagine that the trials and tribulations were but labor pains, so that they wouldn't give up, but instead look forward to hope and life? He told them, he tells us, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Was he talking to people about a Pentecost that wasn't just a breathtaking pyrotechnic display, but a personal, almost private experience? Remember, he said, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Is that Pentecost too? The arrival of the Spirit. Not in wind and flames, not in loud words or thunderous proclamation, but sighs. Like when I was a child, afraid of the storm, and my mom would hold me, and the fear would go away. I spent a couple of hours this week watching a rabbit build a bunny nest in one of my garden barrels. It made my heart burst. Yeah, they're going to eat all my vegetables, but I'm going to get bunnies. Is that Spirit? The sigh that comes from my lips, is that Spirit? Is that, like Paul might say, God searching my heart and interceding, connecting me to all of creation? Is that hope? I wish I could tell you who said it. I know it wasn't me. Wish I had. But it resonated with me when I first heard it. And what I heard is that hope is not an optimistic outlook that a good thing is going to happen, or that a happy ending is near or even inevitable. Hope is the realization that there is something worth living for. Something worth working for. Something worth fighting for. Yeah, The Spirit does intercede for me, does connect me, does show me that there is something worth working for, fighting for, living for. Bunnies. And more. On Thursday, a woman who's been writing to prisoners on death row in Texas came to have a meeting with six of us who are thinking about joining her, doing the same thing. And she told her story and engaged in all of our questions, and we heard of inhumanity. And I'm not talking about justice or injustice in a legal system. I'm talking about what happens when a person's humanity, his way of being human, is taken away. And it was hard to hear, and it was horrible to imagine. And it was daunting to wonder if there was something that we could do or something that we should do. And by the end of our time together, there were no more words for me. And I can't speak of the others who were there, but I was really unsure what I wanted to do and what I could do, what I felt called to do. And as I drove home, I sighed, you know, that deep, drawn out, you know the sigh I'm talking about, the, oh. And in that sigh, the Spirit interceded for me. And I know what I'm going to do. Ah, Pentecost. A person who matters a great deal to me finished his degree at university. He was a mature student, and it was not an easy journey. The things that he had to give up to pursue this dream, the sacrifices that his family made for him to be able to do this, the papers that had to be written, the all-nighters that had to be endured, the hoops jumped through, he handed in his last assignment. And that's when we spoke. That's when we saw each other. Now, this isn't graduation. This isn't the moment that he receives his diploma. This was the moment that he was done his work. This was the moment that he could say to his family, thank you. I don't need any more sacrifices made on my behalf. I have more to give to you now. I can help you with your dreams. I'm done, and it is so good. Now, I don't know if he shared any of those words with his family, but I heard every one of those words when we hugged, and he sighed, and we laughed. We laughed. It's done. Pentecost. Jasmine, who cared for her partner the last months of her life, a time of daily decline, increased need, and fading light, her sighs, they were deep and they were frequent. Sometimes heard and held by friends, sometimes heard only by her pillow as she lay down to sleep beside the one with whom she had built a life. And in those sighs was sadness and hurt, but also gratitude for the opportunity to be so in love. Recognition of the holiness and the beauty of what they were sharing in this stage of life. The bond that can only be created as love overcomes fear, and the foolishness of so much of our lives falls away to reveal what really, truly matters. The breath goes out, and from time to time, calm comes in, and presence is felt. Love and feelings beyond description are shared. Pentecost. You understand what Paul was saying in his letter to the church in Rome about the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. A friend who works tirelessly with Black Lives Matter Toronto. Another who will not stop until there is real hope for every person living in poverty in Toronto. My friends who are working tirelessly on Indigenous justice. They know these sighs. They recognize these sighs. They know that hope does arrive with this personal Pentecost, not because they're winning the battle, but because in the Spirit they know that there is something worth fighting for, something worth working for, something worth living for. I remember a little more than 3 years ago, my youngest son, Paul, got married. I officiated. Family and friends gathered from all across the country, all around the globe, actually. And I wrote a beautiful service for them. I mean, it was beautiful. The wedding was in January in Cambridge, Ontario, in a glass space overlooking the river, and it was night. Candles lit the space, and snowflakes fell outside. You could see it through the glass. It was storybook perfect. Better than Harry and Meghan. It was awesome. And I cried like a baby. And I sighed. It was so beautiful and hopeful and joyful and just full, you know? The food was good. My friend Arden and her band played that night. We danced, we laughed, we all sighed. And in that sigh was this shared sense that there was something special and holy going on. We all felt connected, energized, and aware that love is worth working for. Love is worth living for. Pentecost. Less than a year later, Paul came home to see us and tell us that the marriage was falling apart. It wasn't working. They couldn't speak to each other. Everything had gone sour. And he sat with us, his parents and his brothers, and he told the story over and over again, trying to make sense of it. And we listened as he talked about his hope and he talked about his failures. He wondered what he could have, what he should have done differently. He wondered what he could do even now to make it work. He asked us if we knew, if we suspected that this was going to happen. It had only been a few months. My dad was still preparing a bound book collection of the pictures from the wedding that had yet to be delivered. And my son was now sitting in ashes wondering what he was going to do. I had no words, no advice, no admonition. Which is not like me. And not knowing what else to do, I got up and I hugged him. And he hugged me. And we sighed. And in his sighs, I heard my child crying. Deep cries of pain and sadness and loneliness and hurt. Like when he was tiny and he fell into the rose bush and we had to take him to the hospital torn and bleeding. He cried like that. It sounded exactly the same. Pain, confusion, fear. He didn't have the words. All he could do was sigh and shake. But I understood everything he was saying. And in my sigh was the hurt that my child was in pain. In my sigh was love that I hoped could help heal his wounds. A deep, profound wish that I could take his pain away and bear it myself. Let him be whole. I didn't know how to put those words together. I didn't have those words. But the Spirit interceded for me. And my son, Paul, knew that he was not alone. That there was something worth living for. A new day. Love. Pentecost. It's real. It is personal, and it comes in ways other than fire and wind. And you know, every one of you knows what I'm talking about, because you've experienced it. You've felt it too. It's just no one ever called it Pentecost before. But it is. The Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Later today, if my hopes are realized, I am going to walk along the shore of Lake Ontario. I will sit down on a bench and I will watch the waves. If I'm lucky, my wife will have doubled back to sit with me. She walks way faster than I do. And we're going to sit and we're going to look out at the water and feel the sun on our faces and listen to the waves roll against the shore, and we will sigh. And in that sigh, I know I will feel connected with all of creation. I will feel that I have done my best today and it's been good enough. I will wonder what it is that I ever worry about when in fact I have everything I could ever want in this moment, beauty and connection. And if I look around, I'm going to be able to see another person, a neighbor, and realize that as good, as connected as I feel, it isn't all about me. There are others to whom I'm connected. Others who need to be fed and deserve to live in peace and are working for justice, asking for patience, praying for change. And suddenly I'm not only connected, but I have something worth working for and living for. Hope is not simply an optimistic view that good things are going to happen, but a realization that there are things worth working for, living for. I suspect that I will experience Pentecost this afternoon. I hope that you, in your own way, get to experience it too. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, however it is you come to us, come to us. Let us be open to your Spirit. Let it fill our emptiness. Let it ignite our dreams. Let it open our eyes and our hearts to the world around us. Let it connect us to all of creation and to you, that together we might recognize we are one in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.